Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Australian singer-songwriter Soma is heavily inspired by honesty, empathy, and the ability to transform pain into art. She has evolved into an artist renowned for her ability to fuse timeless charm with raw emotion and modern flair. Growing up listening to hip-hop, classical, and everything in between, Soma's eclectic taste developed at a young age, has continued and ignited with each release in her solo material, also drawing creative moniker from the idea of nourishment for the soul, whether through music, storytelling, or connection. For Soma, music is not just a medium for expression, it is also a tool for healing and connection, a way to navigate and transcend the complexities of time, fostering shared experiences that unify us all. In 2025, Soma released her latest single called Say It and her debut mixtape, Cobra. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Soma. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Being in your presence, Barrett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm in Sydney, Australia, Marrickville particularly. And I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. Why, obviously, Soma is your first name, but why did you choose that to just be your stage name on its own?
Well, yeah, true. I think because there are a lot of other Somas out there, surprisingly.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that they actually have been born with the name. I was born with the name, so I should be the only Soma. No. But no, there's a lot of other artists out there with the same name. I think because the word itself, S-O-M-A, Soma, comes along with a lot of connotations. It's my mum's Indian Portuguese and my dad's Australian. And it is a Hindi word. It means, there's like a seven-headed snake goddess. Then it also means body in Greek. And then I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who have read Aldous Huxley of A Brave New World, and my name is in there. Anyway, it's got a deep and meaningful kind of message behind it. So I understand why people know the word. And of course, then I was born with the name. So I'm like, of course, I'm going to keep that in my music.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? As an artist name, of course.
Exactly.
Can't change that.
From what age, whether child or teenager, did you feel cool? You want to be creating in the music space, be in this world, and how did that journey progress?
So my parents have been very musically kind of always present. So I had record players, a whole bunch of records I was sifting through. I have this very cute photo, which I would love to send to you after this, of me sifting through records when I was like 4 years old and always picking out the best types of music. And they obviously listened. I mean, I'm sure you as well, you know, the greats. The greats are the greats from the, you know, I mean, even 40s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So, yeah, I have had an array of different styles of music around me. My mum, especially being not from here, and my dad being from here, and their musical worlds colliding from classical to world music, whatever. Anyway, so I had musical instruments lying around as well. I picked up the piano at like 4 or 5 years old, and I started to play keys. Then my my piano teacher was like, "You're a little bit pitch perfect. You got to sing." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So I started singing at that age as well. So I was just like dancing around, a little performer at a young age with no inhibitions. I feel like if someone told me to dance now, I'd be like, oh, shit.
So what were the next steps after that? Obviously, there was school. And then what does it click in your brain? Okay, I'm going to do this professionally.
What clicked in my brain is that I bought this machine when I was 16 years old. And I started to make, it's called the Native Instruments Machine. It's a German brand. And I started to make beats and started to sing. And I was like, this is something I really wanted to do with my entire life. It brings me such joy. I don't know. I honestly don't know what else I would do. I'm teaching music at the moment. And that's like, it's my backup, which I think I'll be able to do forever and still to do with music. So, yeah.
Teaching music Singing instruments in what way?
Singing instruments in what way? I guess just creating, getting a MacBook for the first time ever, like when I was younger, being like, oh my God, this is amazing. You can get GarageBand for free and start messing around a little bit with different types of beats and your own voice, and then starting to collaborate and do shows, I think, on the end of my teenage years, which was incredible. And yeah, I'm absolutely addicted to it in a very healthy way.
In creating a song from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes, what inspires it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? Let's unpack your creative process.
I think like some of the songs I've made, which is so effortless, and depending on who I'm working with as well, which is a huge part of it, because I've been working with Daniel Duke. He's an incredible producer. So we have created an entire mixtape of 12 songs. I think it was like 3 sessions and it just flowed literally out of me. So that was incredible. So when I think about those types of times where it just, but then other times I'm actually writing and I'm adding on to like this story that I've written, which is, you know, a whole different thing. Anyway, it's different every time.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll be working on something. Sometimes I make a song in like 4 minutes, especially with that incredible producer. Yeah, I definitely need some instruments or someone. Collaboration is key sometimes, but often I do it on my own as well. But it is nice having a beautiful energy around you. But yes.
So you've got your debut album, Cobra. Tell us about this album.
Okay, so this mixtape is a 12-track mixtape. It is something that I think it's very cathartic. A lot of it is about my childhood experiences, and yeah, it's been heavy. It's been a lot of ups and downs, I think, but I've always managed to be very, I guess, empathetic. Perhaps those experiences that I've gone through as a child have made me more empathetic. 12-track mixtape, of fun songs, deep songs. I mean, they're all good to dance to, kind of.
So you said a mixtape. What's the difference between a mixtape and an album? Or were they the same thing?
No. So the reason why I wanted to do a mixtape is because it is just kind of like a correlation of samples and my own samples. And it's not just like a straightforward EP of song after song kind of thing. I think that's why I called it a mixtape, because, yeah, I guess it's a lot of different types of things. When you listen to it in full, it takes you on a journey of my life. And there's definitely some fun ones in there that aren't depressing. I don't even think that you realize the depressing ones.
So a lot of people, like when they listen to music, so I'm a person that hears words of music straight away. But I speak to a lot of people who enjoy a song and they don't even know what the song's about. Like, just for example, like Sia's Chandelier is about her when she was an alcoholic. And I tell people that, and they're shocked. Like, no, I didn't know that. I just thought it was a great song. They don't even register what the songs are. So when you reference about people not knowing it, well, they'll interpret it in whatever way they want, whether they get the
interpretation.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Completely.
Yeah. And I always want to, I think that the style that I write in is very kind of metaphorical. There's one song that's quite obvious, but still metaphorical, about me losing, I think, like my first partner, beautiful person in my life, who became my best friend, very good friends with his family. And yeah, I think that is probably the most detailed, like, non-metaphorical song.
Yep.
But everything else is very much open to interpretation. Yeah.
Okay, so discussing this point, which I find quite interesting, is that record labels, when they want an artist, they want someone to sound like a success they've already had. So this artist had 8 number ones, so we want you to sound more like that. Where we know, as you've just referenced, that it's open to interpretation and perceptions. So what are your thoughts of that sort of dichotomy of like, record labels want it to sound like that, but we know that everyone's going to interpret it the way they want to?
Well, my interpretation of that is that I probably would be rich now. Yeah, I think I do have a good voice, and like I could have molded my voice into other people's kind of, you know, interpret what they thought that I was going to work with the best of making money, but I didn't do that. And so now I'm working hard as I always have, and I will definitely stick to my guns of what style of music that I would like to make, which is very eclectic style. I'm very open to so many different styles of music.
As we know, like, the audience will pick up if a person's not being authentic and if, as you said, being molded, and eventually they'll fall away from that. So it's about sticking your guns, being authentic, being yourself, and then eventually everything will flow from there. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think to be able to continue your journey, like, it's so important. Otherwise, you have to be such a strong-minded person that is focused on probably making a lot of money. Honestly, I wish that I was sometimes. But I just, yeah, I'm happy to be, you know, all the ups and downs of the industry. And I think that I have worked hard for so many years that it's now my time.
Hashtag drop that mic.
Exactly.
I love me a CD. For me, it's an energy exchange with you guys for all the hard work that you're doing. I love the choice of the receiving, the unpacking the song from one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware, you may or may not be, that CDs, vinyls, and cassettes on a massive comeback. Last year, or a couple of years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold in the UK, the biggest since 1990. Also in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge for exchange purposes. And there obviously needs to be a number of exchanges daily for this product to be in the basket for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs, CDs are now back in that basket, and our vinyls have always been there. The research is showing that it's the younger kids, the teenagers, that are diving into this world, not necessarily the older nostalgic people. And we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
Well, I love to hear that. I actually didn't realize about that, because interestingly enough, I just was today working with my one of my best friends from many years. He's a professional tattoo artist, but he's an incredible artist. His name is Sanchez. And he is about to collaborate with me on some of my upcoming merch. And his entire house is filled with record players, cassette players. So he's still got all the CDs, all the cassettes, all of the great bands forever. Yeah. And that's what we were talking about last night, is because I would love to be able to do that. But I was thinking, I was like, are people really going to? It's a thing, as you say. So perhaps it's a great thing. Yeah.
And what do you enjoy about performing live?
I think the main thing is I'm connecting with the audience, for sure. I think I've never been that person to look ahead of the audience. I look straight into people's eyes, which definitely makes me feel more. But I feel like I'm definitely there with people just to give people a feeling and a vibe and, you know, take them to a different realm.
Okay, so I've got a point of discussion around this. So I'm that guy standing up in front, dancing, doing my thing. I'll take my cell phone out for one or two songs, one or two videos, and I'll put it away. I notice these days that a lot of people around videoing and posting for a lot of time. So from your perspective of seeing a potential bunch of phones compared to a bunch of eyes and wanting to take them to a different realm, and yet they're busy posting and tweeting, how do you feel about that?
I honestly, personally have very much tried, because we all are addicted, right? It is an absolute little, it's an addiction. When I've been seeing live music recently, I've been just like, I want to remember this in my memory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to take this in. I want to give this person my undivided attention and give them my energy. And it's crazy. Be in this environment where you're watching one of your favorite artists, and it's just like nobody is watching them. You may as well be watching them at home on screen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are we out there living as human beings and having some human connection and, you know what I mean, human experience? Like, yeah. So it's wild. We're in a pretty wild time, but I also get it, because I'm like, I'm gonna save the memories.
What's coming up next? Anything else you can tell us? I know in this world, a lot of it is hush-hush and secretive.
So, yeah, I think because of the content of music that we made, which is quite a bit, I've got enough to keep me going for a while, even though I've been writing again. I've got some very delicious music to show you very soon as well. So easy as an artist to just want to just like keep making the next thing. You're like, okay, cool, that's done. And this is what social media is so difficult for sometimes. It's just, you got to be a part of this song for like the next couple of months.
Yes, and that one, the next song in 1 week. That, where's the next song? Hello, I released it a week ago. Can you just enjoy it for 2 minutes?
Right? Yeah, I know. Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so I love this game. I know if I told you this question in 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years.
All right. Oh, gosh. Okay.
And I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs or 5 artists, if you can't think of specific songs, once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 artists be? And if you can think of songs from those 5 artists, what would their songs be?
I seem to get obsessed with like one song for a really long time. And then same as when we had a Discman in our CDs and I was like, listen to the same thing over and over again. I've still got that. I've been listening to 5 in the Morning by Suicide Boys a lot. Very nice. I like that. I've also been listening to Everything in Its Right Place by Radiohead. And I can always go back to that. It's really nice. It makes me feel kind of depressed, but also happy and very endearing.
Yeah.
I really love depressing music. Oh, gosh, 3 more. I listened to the Biggie Smalls album again today of like his main, which was interesting. So you would help me with this, you know, Crimson and Clover. Crimson and Clover. You know that song? It's amazing. It's by, so I have time to look it up really quickly.
Yes. Let's do that.
Because I've been listening to it. So it's like one of my number one top played or whatever, which is Tommy James and the Shondells.
Oh, yes. I've heard of them, yeah.
No, Crimson and Clover, what a beautiful song.
Yeah.
And then, let me go back in again to my most played. Oh, yeah, well, Billy Idol's Eyes Without a Face. Been listening to that a lot.
Okay, nice mix. I like it.
Random. I know, it doesn't correlate to my style of music, right?
No, but what I love it now is that I will literally ask you a question now and you'll have another 5. That's why I love this game. It's ever changing and ever flowing. So I love that.
Ever changing. And that's what it should be, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
I have to be listening to everything.
Exactly. The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I appreciate everybody continue on living and feeling positive. And I love you. And I really do. I feel like we're all one on this earth and in this realm.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds. And the world is at a pretty weird juncture.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of stuff going down. And I'm proud of us all to continue on and be beautiful people and be connected and just always remember that we are all connected. And yeah, I'm sending love to everybody. And of course, listen to my music.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.